Okay, let's go back up. Seals and gaskets, you guys happy with that?
Yeah.
Automatic fuel feed devices.
What does that seals mean? And gaskets, we're talking mostly about doors.
That's a wood stove, so it didn't even put
seals and gaskets?
Seals and gaskets are for wood stoves.
Seals and gaskets. Well, they could be on anything.
That could be a
door. Or do we need it? Yeah.
I think it's good to say that we don't do it, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Automatic fuel feed devices, what is that?
Like
pumps?
No.
Thermal pump?
Like a pellet stove.
No, pellet stove.
Oh, all right. Bring it down to the bottom. Keep that with fireplaces, right?
Yeah, because, yeah.
Let's move that down.
Well, seals and gaskets, that's wood stove.
Yeah, seals and gaskets could be on any.
Could be something else, though. Could be a furnace, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, you got your blower unit has to be sealed away from your furnace and not away from your combustible chamber. Mantles and fireplaces, pull it down to the bottom. Is that one we got to talk? Combustion air components to determine their adequacy. Anybody got a problem with that?
You wanted 8 down at the bottom too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You want them down? Okay, take automatic feed device down.
Well, I thought you said that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to roll the whole thing over again.
That's all right. So we can keep them together. All right, combustion air components and to determine their adequacy. Paul, got a problem?
So we are not requiring combustion air components for their adequacy. So I'm just trying to think through what we're talking about. So we're talking about the fresh air vent into a sealed fireplace, right? Or so we're not required to observe.
It's the adequacy is what
the adequacy.
Out.
So we want to rewrite this one to say the adequacy of combustion air components.
That sounds better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then kill the rest of that. Yeah,
and small A.
It looks a little.
No, small A.
Yeah, that looks much better.
Heat distribution assists, gravity fed and fan assisted. Heat distribution assists.
So that's like a duct fan to supply, you know, to boost the air to a given area because maybe the duct's undersized or whatever.
It could be an exhaust fan.
I don't know what a gravity fed heat distribution assist device is, though.
Gravity fed.
On the fireplace, the fan that we're using?
Oh, yeah, maybe just like a heatolator without a fan?
Yeah. Right, just
don't have to
convection, huh?
Whether that little setup works.
More common on the East Coast.
Slide it down to the bottom.
Gravity fed and fan assisted. Yeah, actually, that's good, huh? The heatolators? Right.
Judith, does this
slide
stuff
number
make
nine
your head
down
hurt?
To the bottom.
Yeah.
I believe.
Too many people are talking, Peter. Can you tell me again?
Slide number nine down to the bottom.
Over here in this little platform.
Yeah, you want a chocolate? A little goodie.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I'm holding up to noon. It is noon.
Okay.
I know.
And fuel burning fireplaces and appliances located outside the inspected structures. Now, let's talk about this. How about the fireplace that's out on the front?
We're just going to take a break.
Are we not going to deal with that?
Potty break, didn't we?
Well, the one out at the back patio, the little chimney out there, you know, built in with no, under a tree with no rain cap.
Is that raising
hand? Most of us do it, but are we going to require it? It's not, it's a recreational component, Peter.
You hear what we're talking about?
No,
fireplace. We're going to potty break. We need a break.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break. Everybody okay?
10 minutes.
All right, we need 10 minutes. Give me a line at the restroom.
Put in a motion.
We are now recording. 12:08.
Okay. Okay, now we're down to seals and gaskets, adequacy of combustion air components, fuel burning fireplaces. Wait a minute, let's go down bottom. Let's take fuel-burning fireplaces and appliances located outside the inspected structures to the very bottom. What do we mean by draft characteristics? Does anyone know?
I'm sure that's how much air is going up the flue and we in the fireplace, right?
How do you determine that on a visual inspection?
Well, this is out of the National.
This is not required to verify.
Yeah, it's not required to determine draft characteristics.
Yeah. I like it.
Shouldn't it say chimney?
You just like the word characteristics.
I do.
You chimney like and flue.
25 centers.
Is there any other?
No, well, there is draft characteristics on heaters, you know, so we should leave it up there, you know, on oil burners and even dilution air on gas burners. All right, so we'll leave it?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Presence or absence of an installed heat source in hallways and closets. Probably you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm trying to understand why we're limiting hallways, closets. So we know there's not a heat or cooling source required in any non-habitable rooms, right, which include closets and hallways and bathrooms. So you guys want to make sure that we're installing, that we're observing heat and cooling sources in bathrooms then, because you didn't move them out.
Can we go up to 9-1 and see what we say? We put this in because we changed 9-1-6. Presence or absence of installed heat source in each room, okay? And then the discussion went into halls and closets.
Right.
So we went down to say, no, we're in halls and closets.
Right, but I have an issue within each room, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
Well, we couldn't come up with a word, so you're going to have to come up with a word.
In each living area?
Well, that's halls and closets.
I'm just saying that you can have a pass-through room that doesn't have a supply register, and it's okay because it's comfy in there, and it was designed that way. Mm-hmm. So there's not a heat source in that room, but it's okay, so that doesn't work for me, at least.
Well, that's why we tried to disclaim it down in 9-3.
Right, but if we're going to disclaim it, then we should add bathrooms in there to match the habitability definitions of the rest of our building standards, it seems, right? If we're gonna...
Well, they're required in bathrooms.
They're not required in bathrooms. Bathrooms are not habitable. Last time I checked, bathrooms were not habitable
just
rooms.
Say habitable room, then.
They're not?
The word...
No, say habitable room.
Look at the word habitable. It's kind of crummy. There's not a good definition of that. So what if we just said, and said at the top, you must describe the presence of a heating source in each room, and then in parentheses, except, and you guys pick whichever ones we don't have to.
Hallways and closets.
Right. Because right now it's kind of in conflict. You have to, presence or absence in each room.
The hallway and the closet.
And then down below you kind of go,
and it's clunky the way it is. We need to clean it up.
It'd almost be better to say except, and then exception or something.
How about where required?
But then that could be by city, you know.
Every city's pretty much the same on this. But, I mean, it was a brand new home. We inspected no supply register in the entire master bath.
I've seen that. I've lived in a home.
And it was not required, technically, but we called it as not typical. But
I had a new build where the hall bath was no supply. The master bath had it.
Yeah.
So how would I know? Like, maybe that's... client would get grouchy about that, but you know, it wasn't required, but we wouldn't know that and the changes that occur and when. And
so we either need to say in each room except, or we need to say in each habitable room. I think we need to do one or the other.
And or habitable space.
What's that?
Habitable space. Federal law requires every habitable space.
Habitable space.
Federal law
that gets into
what?
That. That's better than the each room issue.
Federal law requires a heating and a cooling source in every habitable space.
It says that?
It does. Well, the one I pulled up, it says that.
If we say habitable space, are we going to have to define it?
I would think
then we won't need to say closets and bathroom and hall if we say habitable space, right?
Right. Probably some definition of that already in real estate stuff, right?
I hope so.
That you could pull for, I'm sure. Yeah.
Maybe it's in there already. Is it in your
definition
of space. I don't know. Like that sounds better than what we have. If we're okay using the word habitable.
No, we got no H's in our there's no H's in our glossary.
So we can't use habitable?
All right.
Well, habitable space.
Right.
We might have to define habitable space.
It's another one of these industry terms like GFCI that is out there, you know. I mean,
yeah, I know.
That's cleaner than
I'm
just
surprised Dave isn't arguing habitable space.
That what? I don't want it?
Well, you know, I mean, won't the lawyers grab a hold of that? You like the lawyer stuff.
The first thing that came up under this search says, it's a legal help thing. It says in Phoenix, for example, the city code says that every housing unit shall have heating capable of safely heating all habitable rooms, comma, bathrooms, and flushing toilet rooms to a temperature of at least 70 degrees Fahrenheit at a distance 3 feet above floor level in the center of the room.
Oh, my God.
So this is a super messy little area.
But they said habitable plus. So they were saying habitable plus the bathroom.
Right.
Well, I can see a home inspector getting in a lot of trouble if a large master bathroom doesn't have a heating and cooling source. I can see him going to court over that. And then someone's going to be taking the thermostat out, putting it on a four-foot ladder in the center of the room and telling us what's going on. So I don't want to exclude bathrooms.
Do you know what the city of Minneapolis says?
Not required.
Why Minneapolis?
Because I just pulled it up.
Well, it's good. It's a good code.
They say a habitable room is a space in a building for living, sleeping, eating, or cooking. A space in a building for living, sleeping, eating, or cooking is considered habitable. But bathrooms, toilet rooms, closets, halls, storage, or utility spaces in similar areas are not considered habitable rooms.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's Minneapolis.
I think that's a good word for us to incorporate in these standards here because it fits exactly what we're looking for.
What is the word you just looked up?
Yeah.
Habitable.
I said definition of habitable space.
Space. All right.
And then put the definition in and you're
but,
pretty golden.
Yeah, but
we would have to define
habitable. I'm a little nervous about
it. Hang on
but
a
you
second.
Want
to I'd like to use that definition because we have cold areas in this country.
Sure.
And that's from a cold area, isn't it?
Minneapolis.
Right now, if you go
now, what were you saying?
Chili.
No, I. You want to add bath? If we go habitable, you want to add bathrooms on top of that?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I
perfect. You'd be okay with habitable space?
Habitable space, and then put the definition in the glossary.
Just the standard definition.
Yeah.
What well, we say
the
standard definition.
I think going
in the Minneapolis definition because the Merriam-Webster definition
can't hurt.
Is
listen,
it's too big. Huh?
It's different, so you definitely want to make sure you
refer to it
put in the
areas.
Definition that you're because Merriam-Webster just
says
it's going to be
quiet, gentlemen, go ahead.
If you're going to use a specific definition of it, you better specify it because Merriam-Webster defines habitable as simply being capable of being lived in. So that would mean any room in a house. So if you're going to go with the Minneapolis definition, that's fine, but make sure you have that definition in the
That's a good point.
Just say
California
habitable and then not
codes
define it.
Go with bathrooms are not considered habitable.
Right.
So
we need to take the code definition.
Take the definition
out.
And put it in.
Yep. Yeah. So. Make sure you put that. Yeah.
Do you
okay, what is
IME that definition? I can plug it in here for now. The Minneapolis one.
Code def is.
And then they can
the
play with it.
On the Uniform Building Code.
That's okay. What is it? Can we look it up?
Send it to you in a.
The I like the Minneapolis so far because I always live in my bathroom on Friday night.
To be near porcelain?
Yeah. My porcelain pillow.
Turn
porcelain.
On the hot water, cook some ramen.
You got a jean shirt.
Hey, I moved into my 70th year. What can you expect?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm putting the habitable space down here in the glossary, and then Judith's going
to
send me
that. Yeah, we may need to defer that just to clean up that def. I don't want to hold up the meeting. We're searching for what the Uniform Building Code's habitable
here, I've got code checkers, didn't I? Hold on.
Kochak giving us the federal code, right?
IRC.
IRC.
And why don't we put in, while we're waiting, why don't we put in Minneapolis?
They're working on it.
Okay, yeah, okay. Hang on. All right, I just emailed it to you.
And see what that says.
Space in a building for living, sleeping, eating, or cooking. That's really it.
Space in a building.
A space in building.
Living, sleeping, eating, or cooking.
Habitable space as a space in a building for living, sleeping, eating, or cooking. Period.
Does living include going potty?
Living,
no.
Sleeping, eating,
we used
or
to
cooking.
Do that,
no,
house.
That was not
including living. Well, I mean, it's part of me being alive, going potty, right?
That's why they built that little half moon out on the door out back.
So if that's the... That would be the definition.
Okay. Well, don't you need the rest of it?
Yeah,
but
see,
the question is, do we need to clarify it with the rest of it that says bathrooms, toilet rooms not included?
I don't think so. You know, because I'm gonna
because living is why I live in the hallway.
It depends. There's a few drop houses down in Phoenix where they live.
Scott found the best one.
Habitable room, okay. Put it in and let's just see what it says.
Is it exactly the same?
A habitable room is a space in
a... I think it is exactly
the same. A habitable room is a space in a building for living, sleeping, eating, and cooking. Space in a building for living, bathrooms, toy rooms, closets, halls, storage, and utility spaces similar areas are not considered habitable rooms.
Well, this is from 2015, chapter 2 definitions.
We may need to cut it right. What if we just chop it off right there?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't need all the rest of that.
Well, I think you do.
It lacks clarity with
she
that.
Says
it,
I know,
does
it clarifies
lack clarity
it.
With that.
The word living.
Scott's got the IRC definition.
And the IRC is that. They just basically took it.
You can't go wrong with that.
Isn't the middle...
The IRC has all of that?
That.
Yeah.
Well, just
the entire one?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a little bit redundant.
Well, not that entire paragraph. The IRC in the
starting
Minneapolis
with a
one
space.
Is the, yeah, a space in a building
for living,
sleeping, eating, or cooking, and then period, and then bathrooms, toilet rooms, closets, halls, storage, or utility spaces in similar areas are not considered habitable spaces.
You know what,
so that's perfect. If the definition is habitable space, and then first start with a space. Yeah, the other
take
part.
Take out Minnesota.
No.
I think you've got to capitalize the A.
No, keep... No. Wait.
Go all the way over to A space.
Yeah, go over to the capital A. Get rid of the stuff in front of it.
Go all the way over to...
That's good.
No.
You guys are confusing me. Too many people.
Okay.
Too many people.
So I got this
one. All right, I'm the chairman. Take everything out in front of A space, capitalized.
Move
it out.
From the capital A.
So hold on. So then just take this out.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. That's the capital A that you need
okay.
to.
Okay.
And put a period after cooking.
Mm-hmm. And take out is considered.
Yeah,
and
it's a little
then,
cleaner, huh?
And then just go to bathroom. Perfect.
Short
and sweet.
Genius.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, now let's go back to where are we at 10?
Where are they at pantries? They're not there.
They're in the other part, any other room, somewhere. Okay, so now we're in the call. You're happy with this now?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so where is it?
Where were we at before?
We're at 10. we were
back up in heating, right? Where it all started?
Yeah, heating.
Yeah. I know there, Steve has a...
15.
So 10.
10.
Yeah.
Presence or absence of an installed heat source in... Oh, no, wait. No. That's 10.3. We want 10.1.
10.1.
I mean 9.1. My apologies. 9.1. Here it is. 6. The presence or absence of an installed heat source in each habitable space. Good. Okay, now go down to 9.3.
Right.
10. Okay, we don't need that now because we defined habitable space. Is that
correct.
Right?
I believe that is correct.
Take it out. Okay. Now let's go back up to 9.17, if there is one.
No. 6
no.
is
okay.
The last.
Okay. All right. Now we're in fireplaces.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Fireplaces and fuel burning appliances included. Fuel burning fireplaces, stoves, and fireplace inserts. Do we have to have fuel burning in there? In number one? We should just say fireplaces, stoves, and fireplace inserts.
Oh, good point.
Well, we got two different types of fuel. We got wood and we got gas.
Pellet?
It can be
pellets. And pellet. So, there's a difference between fuel burning.
They're all burning fuel.
Yeah, but they're burning fuel.
Yeah.
And fireplaces and fuel burning appliances, including fireplaces.
I think it's to get away from ambience fireplaces that might be just there for show, even an electric one.
Like electronic fireplaces?
Yeah, yeah, that's why we're specifying fuel.
Yeah, but do we have to do it so many times?
Yeah, you got it in the header line there on B. Yeah.
But it's it
is redundant. It's
not before fireplace. It's not. It's a
Do you want fuel burning fireplaces?
The appliance word.
Fireplaces and fuel.
Yeah, fuel burning. I think we could lose fuel burning.
Well, where's the big space in the front of that?
Would you prefer that and then removing it from here?
No, leave it up top. Fuel burning fireplaces
and appliances.
And appliances.
Maybe take out the second fuel burning.
Yeah. We won't need them in one and two then, right?
Take it out of
and we don't need it in one and two.
Yeah.
Or do we need the spaces between one and fireplaces?
It's our
system. Yeah. And then chimneys, flues, dampers, and vents. Here's your dampers back in. Accessories installed in fireplaces. What would they be? Gas logs? Is that what we're talking about?
Log lighters.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go down to four. There is no four. All right. Let's go down to Inspector Shell 9-2. Okay. This is in heating. So energy source, heating equipment, none of that's changed. Everything there is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Down to 9-3C. Ignite or extinguish solid fuel fires or remove fireplace inserts and stoves or firebox contents. That's straight out of Asher.
Like it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Let's move on.
D, we took out fireplace insert, connect fuel connections. Fireplace insert, fuel connections. Mm-mm. Interior flues. That's all we need, really. But that number two was straight out of National Ash.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we're in the, are we in the three? Yeah. These are the do not needs. Seals and gaskets, adequacy of combustion air components, draft characteristics.
Number seven, seals and gaskets on fire.
It's all heating. It's all heating. Fireplace, Roger.
Seals and gaskets on doors, though.
No, but we're in heat.
Don't be specific, though.
We're in heat.
Yeah, I know, but that seals and gaskets refers to fireplaces.
It also refers to air handlers.
Could be a furnace.
Okay. It just seems like it's vague. That's all. Seals and gaskets on.
Heating seals and gaskets.
Okay.
It's broad.
You probably want to
cover any of it.
I think it purposely is broad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also all the wood burning. Door wood burning, you know, stoves with the doors on them and all those gaskets there.
Let's just get you away from it.
It's coming from the fireplace section, that's all.
Yeah.
That's right, so is the rest of everything else except observe window or portable heating systems.
I like that. Take
the word observe out. Window or portable heating systems. Fire screens and doors. This is something we need to talk about.
Hang on a real quick second here. Do we need mini splits in there for heating if we have this as not doing window or portable heating systems? Aren't mini splits assumed then because they're not this claim by 10?
That's a good question.
Since we had the mini split discussion.
This is what Keith was saying earlier.
A mini split is a permanent heating source.
Right.
It's not portable.
Earlier Keith
and
was saying
not window.
We had heating equipment. Why do we need to put mini splits in? And nobody listened to him. But now if we disclaim window and portable heating systems,
then they're assumed.
We can pull mini splits out,
right?
Because they will be a heating system.
Because the other thing that's assumed is a wall heating system, which is just carved into a wall,
which is permanent.
You're
permanent.
Still going to inspect that,
right? Right.
Yeah, so mini splits are in the same realm.
It's in the same realm.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
all right, up to 9-1.
You know, I wanted to pull that out all day, so
I so remove mini split.
Am I done now?
Do you need to leave systems? Or?
We're going to pull mini splits out, and we're going to go to, we put it in twice, so let's go down to cooling and pull it out so we don't forget. Okay, there it was. Okay. And we'll clean that up when we come back. Go back up to heating. So we now have window and portable heating systems.
Right.
But we want to discuss fire screens and doors.
Okay.
That's in the national standards, national ASHI standards, to not have to inspect that. I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, it's safety.
So which one's fire screens and doors?
No. So we leave it on the do not inspect or do something else?
So would you, let's see, fire screens are unnecessary if it had a log set in it, right? You see that all the time.
It's not a safety thing, but it can't, this it screen can be actually for wood burning. It's
yeah,
a safety
it can be
issue.
For gas too if a child is crawling up in front of
it. I guess.
Doors.
You know,
so
ASHI
disclaims the screens and the doors then on the fireplaces, yeah. Right?
You know what?
Is this ASHI's...
ASHI's disclaimer.
Right. I find issues with that stuff all the time. The screens get melted from high heat. We mm-hmm. see that stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Array of comments on
but
it.
It's, boy, it's... I mean, sometimes it's functional, but it's usually just cosmetic. Oftentimes, but...
I think I'd take it out.
I don't know.
I would vote to take it out if I
well,
was
now if
in
we pull it, if we pull it out of the exclusions, do we want to put it in the inclusions, or do we want to just leave it as part of the fireplace? Go up the fireplace inclusions. That would be D or V. Slide up a little bit further. A little further, right in there. Fireplace stoves, fireplace inserts, accessories. Would that fall under accessories?
I don't think so. Yeah.
It would, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back down, and I think it can. I think we're going to pull it out of here. What do you think, Roger?
Because that's where it could be in here, too.
Yeah, if it can be covered
double-checker
on that other category.
Okay, this is an exclusion.
Yes.
Remember, ASHI's excluding these two items.
Well, I always got ASHI to go back on because I'm ASHI, so mm-hmm. that's fine with me.
Okay, so we're going to pull it out. Take out 11. All you with that?
Yep.
Insert flue connections. They are excluding that.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Insert flue connections. Well, you'd have to get dirty to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't want to get
or burn. So you want to leave it or pull it?
I like it.
It's excluded.
I'd exclude it.
You want to keep it that way. Okay. Paul, are you with us?
Yep.
Roger? That's an exclusion now. We're not going to... inspect fireplace insert flues and connections.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Automatic fuel feed devices. Here we go again. What did that one? Did anybody tell me what these are?
Well, that's the pellet stove
yeah,
thing. That's the only thing
stove.
That comes to mind.
They have an automatic feed.
They do.
Yeah,
who wants
yeah,
to inspect
yeah,
those
the
anyway?
Pellets go down into the pot.
Right.
The fire pot, and mm-hmm. that, and then they ignite, and that's what heats the house. And
well, I know that, but there's an automatic feed for that?
There's
yeah.
a little wheel that feeds the pellets, and there's a barbecue type that also does that.
Okay, all right, good. Do we want to leave it or, as an exclusion?
Yeah, who wants to inspect that stuff?
Okay, yeah. If you can find it.
Right.
Mantles and fireplace surrounds as an exclusion.
We need the combustible clearance issue being inspected for the opening, right?
Floor and wall yeah. protection.
Yeah, I would take that out.
That's what I use in my reports. It's 4-1.
Well, then you also have to worry about mantles, though. That would be a wall protection. Okay. Mm-hmm. A floor and wall combustible clearances. Or leave it just as mantles and fireplace around, but then you forgot about the hearth extension.
Yeah, but that's we're excluding that. I mean, I don't want to exclude it.
Right.
I don't want to limit the combustible clearance to the fireplace opening in any way.
Will
we
take
gotta hit
13
all
up to 9.1? Very bottom of 9.1.
Under B?
Yep. Okay, so we're going to put it here. What do we want to call it?
Floor and wall protection.
Floor and wall protection?
That might be pretty vague for the average guy looking at that.
I like the word surrounds.
Okay.
I like hearth extensions. And I like clearances. Those are the three words I'd like to see in there somewhere.
Combustible clearance.
Combustible clearance to opening or to fireplace opening.
Yeah,
there you
surround.
Go.
If you want surround, that's fine, but I think we need to keep it generic as possible and not list floor or wall. There could be some, it could be a mantle too close, even though that's kind of a wall. But
fireplace or stove openings.
Well, it wouldn't be the stove opening. Now, the stove itself would need clearances even around the firebox. You know? So opening is not a good word. Combustible clearances?
Firebox.
Firebox was.
Combustible clearances, well, it's got to be surrounded because you're
talking
about the
whole stove. Yeah, you're right. The whole stove
needs clearance.
Yeah. Why don't. This is a bit of a new thing going on where this is referring to. You're making them do kind of a code inspection right there. So what if we said what was originally moved up, and that's going to include all these details without specifically saying you're going to tell us about the clearance, because the mantle may be inadequately supported or attached to the wall, and it's a big old heavy thing. So when it said mantle and firebox surround or whatever it said, that's okay. Probably pretty good, and it's better than saying you're going to have to tell us about the clearance.
Okay, yeah, good. Go back. Put in there, take it out and put in mantle
original.
and fireplace
there it is.
Surround.
There it is.
You have this plural?
Then
mantle and fireplace. You can also,
fireplace
maybe you need
or
a four,
or
maybe
stove.
You need a five for the stove. Fuel burning stove, put a five in there. Fuel burning stove clearances.
Right. Now we're back to the clearance.
Well, thing. Only because the stove actually has to have clearance. You know?
But sometimes it's the old ones don't have labeling that's going to even. What are you going to say?
Well, it's in the code, actually.
Yeah, well, then you call it out that it's not a listed appliance.
Hmm?
You call it out that it's not a listed appliance if there's nothing on the stove itself specifying the clearances.
Well, the only time I've ever seen it specified was if it was a zero clearance.
So this is the only place in the standards where you're telling them you're going to do a code inspection on this device. Just so you know. Just so you know, that's the choice.
Well, do you want to walk away from... I mean, what if you walked into a Ben Franklin stove that was right up against your wall?
Then I would just say fireplace and stove surround. And that involves the surrounding materials around it. Those two types of devices, mantles,
and so just leave it kind of generic like that.
And
the understanding that clearances need to be respected, and
we can teach that, and then the lawyers can argue about it later or whatever.
What does the lawyer have to say about that?
If something goes wrong, they'll have a lot to.
There's always something to say.
So,
I want
to get.
So you don't want to go with clearance requirements.
No, I just walk away from clearances. Right. If they tell us that
committee
mantle and fireplace around the okay, we can assume they're talking clearances.
With this,
I'm right, not
the
subject
to be able to.
Okay.
However you guys think it's the best to find.
All right, what's next?
Okay.
Down to C, 9.3. Back down to 9.3. heat distribution assists, we got that already, right?
I think we got all.
Fees, we got, okay, fuel burning fireplaces and appliances outside the inspected structure.
Right.
So you guys want to actually list that?
Exclude it.
So this is like not a
backyard.
This is a backyard chimney, you know what I mean? Or one
it's,
out nice.
It's pretty good because they can be a train wreck, you know, and their own baby.
Yeah, but if they're a train wreck, I would write that up, wouldn't you?
Do
we want to hold the inspector responsible to write up that train wreck?
Yeah, they're things usually
within the house is what we want to come up.
Yeah,
to
in the house, and they're poorly maintained outside. They're right. Weathered. They're
homeowner made.
You know.
Yeah,
and they're all missing sparks. Okay,
so I like it. I
fuel
like
burning
it
fire equation. Okay, and then now we take rid of. I guess you get rid of 15, and then we go the
make
home inspector E, not responsible to evaluate the function and efficiency of multi-zone HVAC systems, dampers, and thermostats. That should be up above all the fireplace stuff. So take
right.
Take E.
Does it need to be a letter?
No, let's make it. Let's make it a.
Make it a number.
Make it six. Because six is missing. And then instead of evaluate, I would use observe. And I think six. I think that starts with observe, right? Go up to the top of that category.
Observe's in there.
Yeah. Okay. So take observe out.
Not required
to observe
the function of.
The function and
the observed function.
The function.
Or,
right,
or
there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, with a period.
I think that's it.
And then you got to, let me see. We took out two, so you got to change all those numbers.
I can do that later as well.
Okay, and then we drop down to 10. Okay, we change. Everyone's happy with heating?
I think so.
All right, we dropped to 10. We changed it to cooling. We kicked something out of there.
Mini split.
And put in a 2, normal operating kind of cooling and air handling equipment, central air conditioning. Okay, we're at 10.1. And let me see, what else did we, 8. Oh, did we go through 8? Did we change all that? David, did we do
which one?
In 8.
8.
We had an 8D. Will you slide 8D, 83D real quick for me? 83D. Either of these? Okay, we were working on something else. Hang on. Before we go to cooling, let's finish what's going on in 8. I think we forgot that. 7, 8. In 8, 3. Oh no, it should be 8.1. The inspector shall observe. No, I'm sorry, it's 3. 8.3. Inspector is not required to observe. Okay, we got low voltage systems. David wanted to add electrical components, low voltage electrical components and systems.
Eight. That was from the generals, right? That we moved over, right?
This is 8, yeah, this is 8.3D. Where do we have low voltage?
Electrical.
There it is, F. Okay, it's an F. Low voltage, put in there, low voltage electrical components and systems. And let's talk about that. What do you got a problem with that?
No, I like it.
Yeah, we just, I mean, it disclaims all the low-volt lighting, which maybe is a good thing, but obviously there's a lot of low-volt lighting out there now with banks of transformers just to operate basic lighting in the home, so we're disclaiming all that.
Okay. And now, where's telephone start? Telephone should read telephone, security, cable TV, alarm systems, intercoms. Intercoms is already there.
And we need something about network.
Auto video systems. And that's it. Okay. Auto video. All right. Now, you want network?
Or audio.
Audio.
Audio video.
Audio video, my fault.
Or do we need something about network or data or something like that? We need anything like that?
Telephone home network security? System? Hmm? The home network system?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean internet. Yeah. I don't know.
Home network systems? You like that?
Should it be internet system? No?
I think it's called network system.
Well, we don't have internet. We got home network systems. But right. they could be CCTV types, you know?
Yeah.
They might not be on the internet.
I mean, it's all low voltage, right? So it's already getting hit by one, isn't it? Technically, we're clarifying here, aren't we?
Well, it says cable TV as well.
Low voltage electrical components. Well, and then we went on to list all the low voltage stuff.
Oh,
are we being redundant here?
That's a good question.
Good point. Home network is like, I don't know that there's any voltage on that line. It's just clarifying that it's outside our scope.
Yeah.
Telephone as well. It doesn't hurt to have those words in.
Components including.
I don't think there's any voltage on
But
those.
We're going on to detail what we're not doing. Again, for the consumer, it's probably good to have in there for anybody who actually reads these.
Well, unless I'm in agreement with you on combining it with one.
Yeah.
Unless
some of systems including.
Are all alarm systems low voltage? Are all audio video systems low voltage? Not really, right?
They're based in that, but obviously they get powered by 120 circuits, right? But they're based in low voltage.
I have an alarm system. Well, it is 120, the main.
Right.
Yeah,
right. They all have that juice coming in.
Well, maybe we ought to just read it separately.
Well, they are next to each other, so if you want to leave them separate, that's fine. But they are closely coupled there. Or other ancillary wiring that is not a part of the primary solution system.
I think it covers it pretty well.
I want to make sure we're not limiting any low voltage, since we decided to define low voltage now. You know, it's like, well, if we go there, we better make sure we hit everything, or we don't go there at all.
Audio-video covers the CCV, right? Closed caption?
Yeah, well, and that's security also.
And home network.
But we have or other ancillary wiring, so I guess I'm all right leaving them like that.
Roger?
Yeah, leave it.
Okay, let's slide up to 83B. 83B, yes, just slide up. B, is that the one? Test or operate any. Okay, test or operate any. I want you to put in there, after any, I want you to put in electrical disconnect. Or, electrical disconnect, or, okay, overcurrent and overcurrent change device to protection.
Sorry, you want me to take out overcurrent?
No,
leave overcurrent. Take out device, put in protection.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, don't take out device, put in protection device. Except ground faults. Okay, test or operate any, home inspector is not required to test or operate any electrical disconnect or overcurrent protection device.
Including AFCI devices.
Yeah, but
you want to test
but why? No, we don't want it including AFCI devices. But we have that someplace else, don't we?
AFCIs?
Yeah, that we're not supposed to test it. Oh no,
we're to inspect the presence of it.
I think that's just the one place.
Yeah, okay, that's the one place it was in there. Okay, David, that's what you wanted. Is that what you want? And you have except ground fault interrupters in here as well.
Where are you getting this?
This is being pulled down from your inspector's not required that you had in general. I brought it to electric.
Oh, okay, so you're pulling that. Yeah, I think that's better. I just had reverted to the where we just came from with that listing of telephone security, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
It says, or other ancillary wiring. Maybe it should say, or other ancillary wiring or components that are not part. So not just the wiring, anything else that's not part of the primary electric.
That's a good point, actually. I like that.
I'm sorry. Some of these things just sit there and haunt me. So, but yeah, I think that's pretty. I think that's better up top.
Okay, but the only thing you didn't that you had here but didn't put in there is accept ground fault interrupters.
I thought you guys changed that.
We already said you don't have to test those.
We did say
no, it was, you guys had a big discussion about this on your last meeting, and they went to, they need to be tested if you can get to it. If it's not, then you don't test it, right?
Okay, go up to 8.1, if you will. Stop there. Okay, inspectors shall, the presence or absence, okay, the presence or absence of, and not, presence or absence and operation. Take out the G. And operation of readily accessible GFCI protection. That's the way we left it. You like that?
Yes.
Okay. So then, so back down to 3. We don't need to put anything about ground fault in there. We're not required to test or operate any electrical disconnect or overcurrent protection device, including AFCI devices.
Right? Right.
Happy? Yeah. Okay, we caught up. Roger, you happy?
Good job, way to stay.
Yeah, I can be happy.
Okay. All right, now, we're in 9. We're in 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
We changed that to cooling. We've gone all the way down. Okay. 10B, 1B is 2, is the presence or absence of an installed cooling source in each room. Now we have to make that reflect the heating. So go back up to heating, 9.1. There you go, slide down the row.
Habitable space.
Yeah, so copy your 6.
Yeah.
Okay, and bring that down to 10.1. There you go. Replace it, and then we'll change the word heating to cooling. So presence or absence of an installed cooling source in each habitable
space.
Space.
Right.
So okay. Then the weird thing here is it looks to me like when you say presence or absence, you're creating an option to the inspector. You can either report this area as things are present in these areas or they're absent from these areas. But so it may be better to just say you shall observe the absence of an installed cooling source in any habitable space or something to that effect. And then habitable space is that not defined? So it should be.
It's been the presence since these standards have been, in effect.
Right? Yeah, no, presence or absence. So but David's right. We already have to do the presence.
But the word observes means you're going to observe it and you're going to report on its condition. So it's saying you're going to have to report the presence and the absence. So it's just an oddity. It's not end of the world stuff here. It's just,
okay. It
appears like there's an option to the inspector, or what we're really getting at here is if there is a habitable space and it does not have a cooling source, you're going to report on that. So it doesn't.
Okay.
It's a little bit odd.
Also changing everything because what we require the inspector to do is actually say that there is.
Right.
He has to go with the positive.
Source in each room. Right.
You know.
That's in the checklist, correct?
Yeah. And so,
is that necessary, do you think, or desirable?
That's the question. That's the question.
Is it desirable?
If he reports on the absence, but he doesn't report on the absence.
It makes the inspector look, though. It really kind of, I think it's important to have that in there.
I'm sitting on the fence on this one.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts anything by leaving it in.
You probably want that as a C.
If you say presence or absence, then he's got to report on the presence, and if there's no absence, you won't have a report on it. But if you say just absence, then you're not going to know if there's any in any of the rooms if you're reviewing this report. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no real way to know that whether he missed it or whether there just is. Well, that's true.
If we have presence in there, you can't report by omission.
Right.
You have to.
Good thought. Good thought. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So that's good.
So is that the same in cooling as well as heating?
Yeah, he hasn't changed anything.
It should be the same in both.
Yeah, it should be. Make sure it is.
Okay, so right up to 9.1. Now let's be sure it says the presence or absence. Presence or absence of an installed heat source in each habitable space. Yep. Okay. Now it's the presence or absence of an installed cooling source in each habitable space.
That's good.
All right, 10.2, we're sliding down.
Did you want that as a new section, though, because it's under distribution?
Just to see, you mean?
Well, it's under distribution in both, right? Is it under distribution? Oh, did you? Was that a new section?
Oh, because of the fireplace stuff?
Mm-hmm. No, this is up in heating.
Yeah, it's permanent.
Okay, so I...
You know, that's a distribution system. I think you're trying to specifically talk about the ducts and all that stuff.
Why don't we just take out
that should be a C or something.
B, distribution systems including, and then...
Like 3, 4?
And then, number those out, and that's what you've got to inspect on the AC.
Yeah, that all works too.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, but what? Let me see what you got. You're in cooling. Okay, so you have fans, pumps, ducts, piping, supports, insulation, air filters. Okay, registers, radiators, fan coil units. You got any of that in there? And convectors and mini splits. Oh, we took mini splits out. Okay.
Don't we want to remove dampers here, Peter? You said we just had them in.
Yeah, dampers out. You're right.
So we got to get rid of dampers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, dampers is only for fireplaces. That we're going to work. Okay. Let's check for 10.2.
Yep.
Okay, now we have a note here from Steve.
Steve, yeah.
I would remove this one. It's always electricity, but that's totally incorrect.
So, energy source?
Yeah. Yeah. It's incorrect. You make gas compressors. I saw 11 of them on one job.
Yeah, and there's water cooled. Right? Yeah. You could have a water cooled system.
It's still electric.
Not for chiller.
It's energy source.
On the energy sources, in my reports, I report on the amperage. I mean, they can be 120, they can be 240. Yeah. I mean, the majority of them are 240, I know, but that's the way I report.
Do you want to hold your home inspectors on your minimum standard to reporting on amperage?
Well, it says energy sources. They can do what they want with it at this point.
Right.
But that's the way I do it.
I think it's fine the way it is.
Okay. You? So they can do whatever they want this way, right?
Well, they can say 120 or they can just say electricity or whatever. I mean, it's still going to be under that heading right there.
Okay, good. That's the last of Steve.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
Okay.
We're going to bury him.
And me.
That's the last of David. We're going to bury him, too. Okay. Now we're working on our own. We're down to 10.3b. We wrote, the inspector is not required to observe window or portable air conditioners. You write that?
Yes.
What did we... window up, that's right. Okay, C is saying that D, observe the presence or absence of an installed cool air supply in hallways and closets. We're getting rid of that, aren't we?
Yeah, we got rid of that in the heating.
Yeah, what did we say? Habitable space, right. We defined habitable space. So D gets.
We copy the heating one.
Oh, right. Wait a minute. Yeah, you got to copy it. Don't get rid of it. Copy the one above. Right there.
Which one? I'm sorry.
10.1, 2. 10.1, I guess that's 2. No, it's 4. 10.1. Wait a minute.
That is cool.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it down here? What's it doing? Not required.
Oh, we just delete that.
Okay, yeah. Just for the record, Mr. Kalecka had to leave the meeting. He just left the meeting 12:58.
Okay. 1258.
We still have form.
That's a not required. Yeah, we're throwing that away because we defined habitable space. Right?
Yep.
Am I wrong?
That comes out, I think.
That comes out. D. We're all the way to interiors. Inspector Shell.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. We got rid of sumps because it was in the interior, which was a little crazy. F. Inspector Shell observed installed ovens, ranges, surface cooking appliances, microwave ovens, dishwashing machines, and food waste grinders by using normal operating controls to activate primary function.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, we'll slide down.
And that's right out of Ashy Land, I think.
It is.
Secondary fire egress from all bedrooms, we took out of there as a to-do. Inspector Shell, 11-2C, report absence of secondary fire egress from bedrooms. We didn't get involved in size, we didn't get involved in code, we just, is it there, or is the absence?
Yeah, we'll have fun with that definition.
Yeah. There's no way out of secondary. No way. If there's no secondary way out, he has to say that.
Yeah. I'm still nervous about this, but let's see how we do in definitions with it. I'm just concerned about increased liability for the inspector a little bit on this.
Well, let's not walk away from it. Let's slide to the glossary, if you will, and let's see if we said anything about definition.
Yeah, we define secondary fire egress.
RS, there it is. Secondary fire egress, secondary access such as doors and windows that allow direct access to the exterior from a bedroom to be discussed further once you get out there.
Yeah, it just, I'm hearing Bruce Barker in my head saying, you know, danger, danger, Will Rogers is what I'm hearing.
What's yeah. he saying?
Well, that the inspector's on the hook for little Johnny not being able to get out of the window in case of a fire. That's what I'm hearing. That
well,
somebody died,
I
you know, because the inspector
that.
Didn't check the, make sure that the window size or opening or stuff we're doing already, but.
I remember what Bruce Barker said. He said several things that I didn't agree with.
No, of course, and me too.
No, but seriously, he said that you're on the hook if you require him to report on secondary egress, all right? And little Johnny dies when you
right.
report on secondary.
Right.
He says you're on the hook, and I said you're on the hook if you don't report on secondary.
You're on the hook either way.
Little Johnny dies.
But here, the plaintiff's attorney says, see right here, it says you're supposed to do that.
Well,
but
just
not,
report on
not
the
operation. Not relative to size of opening, height of the sill, is whether it's there.
The only requirement,
I want to work this out. I want to see this in here.
The only requirement we have for secondary egress is access to the exterior. Slide back up.
And Peter, access to the exterior, not trying to complicate things, but is that, so does that need to indicate exterior of the home, exterior of the bedroom?
No, exterior of the home.
I thought it meant exterior of the state.
No.
So
the idea is
exterior of the building.
Should it say exterior of the dwelling?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We can put in exterior of the building.
Of the structure.
Structure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, if you're reading it, could
good
somebody
idea.
Go, well, that just means direct access to the exterior of the bedroom?
Yeah.
Good thought. Good
that's
thought.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
It's better. Okay, secondary, and is it access? Or should we put secondary egress?
You wouldn't define the
we have to define egress?
Egress.
All right, access.
Let me find a synonym. Right.
We can't use the word in the
can't
definition.
Use the word in definition. That's right. I forgot that. That's true.
Remember?
Okay.
Like,
yeah, rule writing 101.
So, no, I think we leave access.
Yeah.
It's an access issue.
Secondary access.
Not egress?
Doors or windows. It should be doors or windows. Or doggy doors.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a synonym for it. Is, you could say secondary escape route or something like that.
Escape route.
Secondary escape route.
It's more than just that, though, right? The
fire
department getting in.
Yeah, you're right.
It is an egress.
Yeah.
Ingress,
Well, you can use ingress to define. Then you're not using the word again.
Ingress, right? Ingress.
Right. Portal. So it's like, interbreeding. It's not what we're defining. You know, you can't.
You're doing the way out.
I think you need
ingress or escape route.
That's good.
I don't want to use ingress. Don't put ingress in there.
The word escape, I don't know, it's a little scary to put in the standard.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, access is better.
Access was a better word.
Yeah.
Access route.
I can't think of a better definition than that. It just, I still want to kind of ruminate on this a little bit, but.
Well, we have access in there twice, so.
Here's another option, secondary opening.
Yeah, there you go. Put that in there, because I don't like access in.
Well, we can't have access in there twice.
No, that's ridiculous. Secondary openings, such as doors or windows.
Openings.
Such as doors or windows that allow direct access to the exterior structure from bedrooms. Take the A out.
Just my own ignorance, would that be living spaces or specific
no,
spaces
no, just
to bedrooms?
Bedrooms.
No,
no,
yeah,
bedrooms.
Exactly.
It's a bedroom thing.
Bedrooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're sleeping in the
bedrooms. And take out to be discussed further because I never want to see this again.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Let's try it.
I like that.
Actually, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Since the thing you're defining is secondary fire egress,
mm-hmm.
why not just start with openings such as doors or windows that allow direct access to the exterior of the structure?
That's another great point. Boy, am I glad you're here.
Hey, you came to life after that chocolate.
Yeah, the chocolate.
Chocolate, Diet Coke, and
okay,
Cheez-Its.
Okay, so we have openings such as doors or windows that allow direct access to the exterior of the structure from bedrooms.
You know, if we stay here long enough, we'll get it on the three words.
I like that a lot. You like that?
I like
that. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go back up to where it came from. We're in interiors, that would be 11. Report absence of secondary fire egress from bedrooms.
We've already got the bedrooms in there. Do we need it from here?
Well, just to give the inspector a heads up.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt being up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. 11.3 D was taken out, household appliances, because now we put them in. And so we got D, recreation facilities, or another dwelling.
You're liking that one, huh? I mean, you don't have to inspect the house next
all
door.
All this time I've been going next door. Okay. E, any primary, not required, right? We're not required? Yeah, not required.
Do we need another dwelling unit? No, I'm serious. Where the hell did that come from?
No, that's
the original standard. Though.
Make sure you inspect the house that's on your work order.
I remember my super pulled out.
What would those things be? Recreational facilities or other?
That's anything else. Trampoline, the this, the that, anything other stuff that's not bolted.
That's from the original standards.
Is it?
So is another dwelling unit like a casita then?
Yeah, could that be like a motherhood?
Yeah, I think that's the intention of it.
Maybe if there was anything shared, is there anything shared between units? Like if you did a duplex, is there anything ever shared between
common walls.
Just common walls or water walls?
Water.
But you have a different shutoff, but the water comes in.
You should.
Yeah.
Because surrounding structures are part of the inspection, right? Doesn't it say something about that?
What?
Surrounding structures?
Sure.
I mean, this is actually a...
This is for parallels,
really. ...important topic. Hmm. A surrounding structure, another dwelling unit.
Oh, here we go into... You're better pay attention to this.
Oh, I've been paying.
Just saying. I mean, what is that? If that was already there, what do you...
The only thing I can guess is they were talking about guest houses.
I think Ashley removed it from their current ones. I'm not seeing it under interiors shall not. They must have pulled it.
Could it be for like high-rise condos at all? Just to clarify that, I don't know.
Well, high-rise condos, we don't have jurisdiction over.
Good point.
I mean, if we can't think of where it applies.
An individual unit, we get called to inspect an individual purchased.
The board will throw it out. I mean, you can do it, but probably the board will throw it out because it's more than four units.
Really? So condos are outside?
Well, I'm getting confused now, too, because I thought earlier it was said that it's as long as you're just looking at one dwelling.
Like one condo in a building of 500 condos or whatever.
Four units or less.
The standards apply.
The standards apply to four units or less.
But that's for...
Yeah. I don't know what the board would decide.
That's a condo in a building should apply.
That should be an individual dwelling unit.
Well, what are you saying? You can't do five at the same time? Or if you do five at the same time?
The standards just don't apply. That's all.
If there was a buyer buying that entire building, that's commercial.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
If somebody's buying an individual unit within a 500-unit complex, that's...
So the buyer can buy up to four. To have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And once he bought five, we're out of the picture.
It's
such a crazy thing. Yeah, but we don't want to go there because it's in statute, I believe.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I can't think of a reason.
I don't see why another dwelling unit exists. I don't know why that exists. I don't think we've ever had any complaint.
Maybe we should exit out and sleep on it.
No.
I mean, a dwelling unit indicates somebody's. Is that a habitable living space? What does dwelling mean?
Not in the bathrooms.
I mean.
I think we should exit out.
Does dwelling unit isn't referring to like a big shed in the backyard? Right?
Only if there's a
illegal dwelling.
Unless there's a mini split on it and somebody's living in it.
Okay, what do we do with it? What are we going to do with it?
Just leave it.
It's not hurting anything.
It's
not hurting anything. Maybe there's something it can do for us, but
this was written in the 50s. Is there anybody around from the 50s?
No, sir.
They're all dead?
It was written in 92.
Oh, 90. Originally?
From 92 Ashy.
Yeah, but...
I don't know. It could be struck. It's not doing anything, but we could strike it.
Anybody alive from 92?
What if... Okay, I can think of one condition, but if we'd have to think it through. But like, so you had the house, and then you had a detached monster garage or barn assembly, but they had like a dwelling unit above that barn setup.
Like an apartment.
Like an in-law.
Like an apartment.
Guest house.
So same exact thing. That's still like a...
ADU.
Grandma apartment, guest house, casita, whatever thing.
Mm-hmm. That would be another barn dwelling,
in the backyard.
Yep. Some weird thing in the backyard so we don't have to observe that.
But how about if a guest house is inside the house? You know how we have guest suites, mm-hmm. second kitchen, second everything? Maybe this should say another exterior dwelling or detached dwelling.
Detached.
For whatever it might be. But then, of course, we have to worry about parallel inspections. Is a detached unit going to be eligible for a parallel?
Yes. Well, and keep in mind, this is only interior related.
This is interior.
Only the interior you don't have to look at.
So we don't have to look at the mother of it.
Where's that thing that says surrounding structure?
Yeah, I think we just either keep it in or throw it out.
Make a decision, Peter.
I guess make a decision.
Make a command decision, William.
Leave it in.
All right.
Don't change it at all?
No change.
All right.
All right, we're going down to...
So we grouped the... We grouped the kitchen appliance disclaimers together under non-primary features, right?
Any non-primary features of reserved appliances we don't need to report on. That's E, F. Not required to report on installed and freestanding kitchen and laundry appliances not listed in 11.1 above. In essence, you don't need to report on the trash compactor, the washer, the dryer.
Ice machine, all
ice machines.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, 11. That was 11.3.
Mm-hmm.
12.
Yep.
Roger, you happy with 11?
Yes.
12.1.
Live with it.
No changes. 12.2. Inspector shall describe the presence or absence of insulation and vapor barriers in unfinished spaces.
So you just combine those, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
12.3, venting equipment which is integral with the household appliances, not required to report on. That really is a carryover from when we used to ventilate the stove, the built-in ovens. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're still doing
still
that.
Still find some of those around.
Yeah, you find them every now and then. Okay, so write them down to the glossary. Arc fault, a type of safety device that is designed to quickly shut off electrical power in event of arcing.
And yeah, you know, we always have the option of not even bothering with AFCI, GFCI defs since they're so ubiquitous,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, I test them in vacant houses.
Yeah.
Why is ground fault? Oh, because it's not the wrong one.
Okay. Down below.
Automatic safety controls, devices designed and installed to protect systems and components from unsafe conditions. You like that?
We
took out all the examples.
Right. That was a cleaner definition that we found.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, slide down. Yeah. Air conditioning, central, a system which, do we need central air conditioning?
We're still referencing central, right?
No, we went to cooling. We took all the centrals out, didn't we?
But it does say central air conditioning including on 10.1, right? System cooling. No central. So,
yeah, we pulled central.
So...
No, it's still there.
It's right there.
Oh, central conditioning. Well, maybe we better pull it because we're going to include mini splits. That wouldn't be essential.
Get rid of it.
Well, think about it. So, right. I think we can't we remove central from here, and then I think we can kill the definition, can't we?
What do we? Will you do me a favor and slide up to 9.1?
You said permanently installed heating systems included.
Stop there for a minute. Permanently installed heating systems included. Okay, thank you, David. Let's slide down to.
So you can say permanently installed heating systems.
Cooling systems included.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. You like that better?
Yeah, that's smart. A little cleaner, huh?
Okay. I like it. All right. So now let's go down to...
I don't think we need central AC at all then, right?
No.
No.
Client, component, cross connection. Okay, cross connections would change. Physical connection or arrangement between potable water and any source of contamination. Right. We pulled engineering out.
So you pulled that out altogether and just.
Because we pulled the word engineering out of the standards.
Okay.
Right, didn't we?
Yeah, and sciences as well.
Right.
Okay.
We pulled sciences out of the standard.
Okay.
Because home inspectors don't understand any of those.
We don't.
Only rocket science. All right. Slide down. Functional flow and drainage never changed. Ground faults. Okay. A type of safety device that is designed to quickly shut off electrical power in the event of a ground fault. We have the word in the definition, as we did it with arc fault. Well, what did we say about arc fault? Can you write up arc fault?
In the event of arcing.
A type of safety device that is designed to quickly shut off electric power in the event of arcing. Okay, and down to ground fault in the event of a faulty ground.
Yeah, I know.
Ground fault. Yeah.
That's not true, though.
We shouldn't use ground fault in there, though. We can't use that.
Type of safety device is designed to quickly shut off electrical power.
A grounding defect or something like that.
In the event of electrical shock.
In the event of an electrical shock.
Because it's a mini second where you will get the shock, but it's just reduced.
Yeah, but it's...
It's caused by
a ground fault is a fluctuation between your hot and neutrals.
Right.
Where an arc fault is actually
Improper ground.
Improper ground.
Maybe we need something more generic.
What if we said in the event of a hot and neutral imbalance?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, it's too detailed.
Yeah.
Well, no, but we ground fault.
That's what it is.
It's actually educational. It tells these guys what a ground fault is.
And put it in depth, huh?
It's just inventive fluctuation between
an imbalance, a hot and neutral side imbalance, or whatever. Hot and neutral imbalance.
Because it's education.
We better be darn sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's comparing between the two.
Yeah, yeah, it's an imbalance.
If there's more than 3 milliamps, it's killing power.
It's supposed to trip, yeah.
That's all it, that's
a,
it's
fine. The event of a hot and neutral imbalance.
All right.
I like it. Anybody else?
I like it. It's good.
Okay.
Just real quick, I feel like when I was looking at cleaning this up last time, let me bring up this clean one real fast so I can look at my glossary.
You feel like we did this already?
What's the definition of
it? Okay, we'll get to it. I'll get to these guys.
Oh, yeah, I got something to say about that too. So.
Okay, back to G. Back to G. Okay, the medium major repair we pulled out.
Right.
Habitable space we put in.
Right.
And we like that. Inspector, just in case no one knows who that is, installed. Major defect, all the same. Normal operating controls and observe, all the same. Okay.
Thought we got rid of a major defect.
No.
The system was component that is unsafe and not functioning properly.
No, there was something major defect that changed.
We did pull major defect out of somewhere.
Material defect. Somebody wanted material defect. Yeah, we didn't go with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a suggestion for that major defect one to think about. What if we said functioning its primary or what function is not... It's meaning its primary function is not working correctly.
A system or component that is unsafe, or the primary function, or the primary function is not
working properly, or something like that. So use a different word, working.
So you're concerned this is secondary functions.
Like, then we're we get in an argument. No, that is major because the time clock, you know, is critical to the operation of this thing, or whatever it happens to be. Let's get back to, you know, the primary function of this device is what we're evaluating for. We're not going into these secondary controls, you know, computer controls.
Oh, okay, let's take it to a system or component that is unsafe or not functioning properly.
Or the primary?
In the primary
function.
Or not working properly in the primary function.
Or the primary function is not working properly.
Maybe it's okay the way it is, Peter.
Okay.
Maybe that's not a bad way.
Roger?
For the primary function.
Yeah, let's see. System or component is unsafe, or the primary function is not working properly. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it takes out the secondary functions.
Not working properly or not working. Or the primary function, or the primary...
Now, we have to say properly, because we had the issue before whether it was functioning or not. It could be functioning poorly, but it was functioning.
And that could be.
So we have to have the word properly, I think, in there, working properly.
As designed? Okay. Normal operating control is okay. Observe is okay. On-site water supply quality based on on-site water supply quality. Where do we use that?
Well, that's what I was bringing up here is when I was italicizing everything within the document. Like, I couldn't find on-site water supply quality. I had to just italicize water supply.
I ran across it somewhere because I looked at it.
It's in the old standards.
Can you highlight just on-site and see what that says?
Okay, let me go back to this one here.
No, that's part of the...
Let's see if we did it that way.
On-site. It's only in the glossary. Oh, no, here it is.
Here it is.
Okay, and this is in 7. This is in plumbing. Not required to observe on-site water supply quality. Do we want on-site in there, or do we want to just say water supply?
I say get rid of the on-site.
What else would it be?
On-site.
Waste disposal. On-site for waste disposal, because that's the septic system right there.
What we're talking about there is a septic system.
Yeah. I have another question, though. Do we really need...
Oh, wait a minute. An on-site could be a private pump
for the
water. Maybe on-site is important.
Well, but maybe it's in there because... And this came from the old standards. Maybe it's in there because you don't have to in any way consider like a city supplies water quantity or quality. It's just what's on-site.
Shared wells.
That's a good example.
Yeah, this is actually addressing shared wells or private wells and private septic systems. Shall we read it?
I like it. Yeah. Okay. I think it doesn't hurt anything.
So let's go back to glossary, Kurt. On-site water supply, water quality, on-site water supply. Okay, maybe we better define it here. Water quality.
Okay, my question is on this here is, do we need that? Because we have functional flow. We have a definition for functional flow. Do we need this? The on-site water supply quantity.
Now it's quality, not quantity.
Well, there's both.
Well, they're both up there.
Water quality. Where's quantity?
Quantity is right.
Oh, I see.
Do we need that? You know, it's, I'm in favor for pulling that.
I'm not sure that we do.
Because we have functional flow. If you go down to the F's, you'll see there's a...
Yeah, but what did we do with...
So that would imply that we don't have to do a flow rate test, right? We don't have to analyze that. I'm actually on a well. I'm actually on a shared well.
Go back to on-site. So we know what functional flow is.
Quantity.
Water quality is the rate of flow.
It's quantity.
Water quantity.
How much?
Rate of flow. Water quantity. Water quality. Based on.
So, and we don't have to. So
it's
my
like
house,
gallons per minute for the well.
I'm on a shared well, and I did a flow rate test to see what range it was in, because then I can have it as a baseline. So if my well starts to fail, I can monitor. Anyway, this is just saying, so for on-site water supply, you do not have to concern yourself with how well that thing's performing or the flow rate is not within our wheelhouse.
Maybe we leave it.
I would.
Leave it.
But Roger has a great point that we're talking about water quantity when we're talking about functional flow. It's either good or bad.
This is at a well. This is on-site water.
Okay, this is on-site. So the on-site becomes
very important.
And it's
the service supply versus how it behaves once it, you know, enters the house.
Okay. Well, quantity, there is a standard for water flow in an on-site system.
Right.
And we don't have to determine what that is or whether this meets that.
Trust me, because I'm dealing
you
with
did.
That right now. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to leave. Are you guys ready? You happy with that, Roger?
No.
No?
No, I didn't think we got to pull it.
But this is only talking about on-site.
Right.
So what's the water flow coming out of the tank? You know?
Right, but we have one under functional flow, and what functional flow is. Quantity and functional flow are basically the same thing. They're different terms, but they're basically the same thing.
Well, one's inside the house, and one is the rate of flow coming out of the system.
Okay. And it's just a definition, right?
And it's an exclusion, so it's an aid to clarity and helps the inspector.
So if you're in court and someone says that my rate of flow out of my well wasn't adequate and you're responsible, you can fall back on your functional flow and say, yeah, it might not have been adequate, but it was functional, and the standards are telling me I don't have to tell you what the rate of flow is.
Perfect example.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's not hurting anything. Right?
No, it would just seem to be redundant. To
but
me.
It's more for the well, gallon per minute,
right.
Kind of thing, really. Right?
Primary, are you good?
Let's go, yes. I'm
primary good. Function, the function of a device that is most reasonably apparent.
I think that was just a green definition.
You right, Don?
Yeah. And we referenced primary function from another def, right?
Yeah, so primary function is
in
all
we
the
got
appliances.
A definite... definition referenced in another definition.
It's in the appliances we're talking primary function.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then we took out primary windows and doors. Readily accessible is unchanged. Readily openable is unchanged.
Openable.
Limited to those panels within normal reach or from a 4-foot step ladder, and otherwise readily accessible.
I have a comment there.
Okay.
Instead of saying are not painted in place, that should say maybe are not sealed in place, because it could be like tape. Or something else.
Or
sealed is, master.
Or even some kind of silicone sealer that someone thought it had to be on there.
Pain in the neck, that is. Normal reach from a 4-foot ladder, we still like that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the 4-foot ladder.
Why is that in there?
Yeah, it's from the original.
Oh.
It's better than a 12-foot ladder.
I think it's pretty good.
So all we have to do is carry 4-foot ladders, which means that access to the attic is probably not going to be accessible.
You can't see it. You can pop them.
And if you use a 6-foot,
it's not harming anything by being in there.
No. Anybody got an objection to it?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Roger?
No, let's move on.
Okay. Recreation facilities stays the same. Representative number. Roof drainage systems, gutters, scuppers, roof drains, downspouts, reeders, splash blocks, and similar components used to carry water off a roof and away from the building. Happy?
Yeah.
Safety glazing?
Sorry, I just wanted to double check I didn't have anything else. No, okay.
Okay, safety glazing?
Yep, we have wired glass.
Yep, wired glass, okay. You know the...
We went through all broken down. Secondary on up.
Secondary fire, such as doors, windows that allow direct access to the exterior. Well, we just did that. Okay, that's right. Everything else is unchanged. Solid fuel heating device. Any wood, coal, or other similar organic fuel burning device, including but not limited to fireplaces, whether in masonry or factory built, fireplace inserts and stores, wood stoves, room heater, central. What are we doing about gas fireplaces?
About gas fireplaces.
We took out solid fuel, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. There's a solid fuel heating device or solid fuel show up in the.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, there's solid fuel.
I'm not sure if we're
we
still
took it out.
It now.
We took it out of heating, so it doesn't have to be defined anymore.
So right. So now.
There it is.
Okay, ignite or extinguish solid fuel fires.
Oh, there it is. Solid.
I guess we still need to leave it in there, right?
Yeah.
But only define the words solid fuel fires or solid fuel. Because this is in the glossary as solid fuel heating device. That doesn't come from anywhere.
Yeah, the entire term.
Can you go all the way up to the fireplace section in heating?
It's 9 heating.
Yeah, it's 9. Where'd it go?
We call it fuel.
There it is.
Fuel burning.
Fuel burning. That covers gas.
Yeah, we changed it to fuel burning. We took out solid fuel.
Right. Fuel burning.
Maybe we take out that entire definition.
Let's write down to the definition again. Fuel burning heat. Fuel burning.
Solid fuel heating device.
Wood, coal, or other similar organic fuel burning device, included but not limited to fireplaces, whether masonry or factory built fireplace inserts, stoves, wood stoves, room heaters, central furnaces, and a combination of these devices.
I guess
at minimum, we should put in there fuel burning heating device.
Maybe so.
Or heating device.
Burning heating device. And then where did that come from? Because that assembly of words does not exist in the standards anywhere but there.
Fuel burning.
Yeah, Ashley pulled it from theirs. I don't see it.
That's the only place, huh?
Yeah.
Do we need to define it?
Why don't we just say
heating device?
Why don't we just take out heating device and just call it, we're defining what fuel burning means.
Want to define fuel burning? Coal, wood.
Fuel burning, not a device. We got the word device in there.
Or similar organic fuel burning device. We can't use fuel burning in the definition. Any organic fuel, maybe, including the not limited to.
No, it actually doesn't have any definition.
I should scratch it.
Yeah, I'd scratch it. It's readily apparent what the heck we're talking about in the standard.
Yeah, pull it.
Yeah, pull it. It right? Yeah.
Gone. That one too. Gone. Structural component. Component that supports non-variable forces or weights, dead loads and variable forces or weights, live loads, and we took out the definition of dead loads.
Good.
Okay?
Perfect. Simple.
System. A combination of interacting or interdependent components assembled to carry out one or more functions.
No change.
Technically exhaustive. We didn't change it. Of course, we have scientific or engineering findings, but that's okay. We didn't define that. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Under four crawl spaces. Okay. Unsafe. Conditioned and readily accessible installed system or component which is judged to be by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use. Took out everything else. A condition in a readily accessible installed system or component which is judged by the inspector to be a significant or to be a serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use.
I would
could
take,
pose risk.
I would take out
significant
normal
risk
in day-to-day because what if it's a predictable rare event, you know? Then you could argue, well, it's not day-to-day use. It wasn't significant enough.
Like raining and getting on that main panel?
That's
a good one.
The normal and day-to-day changes the meaning too much, I think.
Did we lose Mr. Donner?
He had to appear at something else, and he's coming back.
Okay.
But just
he'd be good for this one.
If it's a risk when the thing's being used, you got to report on it.
Are we only concerned with bodily injury?
Where's ashes? Where's unsafe?
It's the word is unsafe. So there's still that other one for.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So Bruce was recommending we use ashes, unsafe, def.
Read it.
It is a condition in a readily accessible installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use. The risk may be due to damage, deterioration, improper install, or a change in accepted residential construction practices.
Okay, we just scratched off the risk may be due to.
Right.
I think they used that instead of which.
So you didn't like that.
Reality is this is a major defect, you know. We should have the words major defect probably in here.
A major defect. Major defect. Major defect also includes not working properly.
Will you hit unsafe and see where we put that in the doohickey?
Where it came from in the standards, you mean?
You're nowhere else,
unsafe.
Huh?
Nowhere else,
Kurt?
I'm looking.
Yeah.
It's in the
major defect. Okay, keep going. See if it's anywhere else.
So it's in just the glossary.
Just the glossary.
Okay, so major defect.
It's in major defect.
And then we had to define it because it's in major defect.
Automatic safety controls.
It's in automatic safety controls. From unsafe conditions.
Okay. All right, yeah.
All right, let's move on.
All right, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I guess.
Do you want to blow away the risk?
The potential risk.
Potential is a good word.
It's unsafe. It's also, you're outside, you got heavy rain. Who's going to look at the main panel at that point? I mean, there's an unsafe situation there.
Your apprentice.
So it doesn't have to be a defect.
You could almost tear it out. I mean, isn't that well defined by some Webster or something?
I believe so too, yeah. I think it's just one of those inferred everyday definitions.
It really is, unless...
And since we only have it referred to in major defect, I tend to agree.
Well, no, it's in that, it was one other place. Where was it? It was in safety controls, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the benefit got mixed out, right?
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's still up there. Okay.
The benefit of keeping it is we say significant. We're talking, we're screening for the significant problems, like not that you could scratch your arm type things, you know? It's still unsafe.
But you think it's worth having the unsafe definition in here?
I think
it
is. I think it adds some.
It doesn't hurt anything.
We're talking about serious bodily injury.
Speed, slope.
We don't screen for every possible way people can get hurt in their home. Okay. I mean, there's a million ways.
So maybe that's the best we could do on this definition then.
Okay, Roger.
Yeah.
Are you happy with getting rid of the risk may be due to?
That may pose significant risk.
I know. I'm partial to Ashies, which has a lot more words to it.
Okay, well, the words are there.
Yeah, I know, but you took out a lot of them now.
Yeah, yeah, I think the last sentence we took out doesn't, I think it's pretty good, really.
Meaning put it back in?
Maybe. Yeah, but Roger's got to sell this to Ashy, and he's having a problem with taking out the risk.
No, he wants
it all worded like they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the second sentence, how it's scratched through right now, we should keep it in.
Put it back in?
Yeah.
Okay, take the scratch out of the risk maybe due to damage.
Well, you can't undo it, huh?
No, it's...
Well, that's maybe due to...
We're going to wear out Kurt. He's going to need like an afternoon nap.
I'm going right to a meeting after this one, I'm sure.
Deterioration, trauma.
Well, I can...
improper installation. Or changes in adopted residential construction standards.
Yeah,
construction standards or standards? There.
I don't think we need the normal day-to-day use piece.
Residential construction standards.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't hurt to have it in, and if it helps Roger sell it to Ashley, you might be in good shape.
Yeah.
Okay, so a condition in a readily accessible installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be significant, to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during use. The risk may be due to damage, deterioration, improper installation, or changes in adopted residential construction standards.
Yeah. They have normal day-to-day in there.
Yeah.
Well, I had normal day-to-day use. That's
yeah,
what
it seems like that would be a good thing to have in there.
I'm sorry.
It seems like normal use is a good thing, isn't it? I mean, otherwise...
Yeah, it's
again,
kind
somebody
of
go, well, what kind of use? It. I don't know. It just seems too ill-defined. I don't know.
So what's the consensus? Put the normal day-to-day in?
I say put it in there.
Or even just normal?
Yeah, leave it.
I don't know.
Okay, put the normal day-to-day use in there.
Could have done that down here.
Oh. And normal.
So if
we
have that second, now going back again to that last sentence, if we keep it in, now we are responsible for reporting all of those related issues, right?
Only if there is significant risk determined by the inspector.
So that means...
And you should anyway, right?
But it gets all gray. So, like, if there's a change in adopted residential construction standards, it's unsafe. And you deem it a significant risk, so then it's down to this, well, I don't deem it is. Oh, he does. Let's argue it out and spend lots of dollars on lawyers, you know. Because it's the opposite. It's not helping to clarify, it's helping to add responsibility onto us.
It does broaden it, David, you're right. And we've been living with the same definition for 20 years, too.
Yeah, and maybe that's why we tore it out, because it does nothing but add trouble for us. Because it can't be cleaned up, it can't be cleared up for the public or for us, really.
I don't know what it hurts to leave it. I don't understand that. You're saying your residential construction just changes? This is to the inspector's opinion, though.
I know. So it creates a lot of gray area. That's where lawyers make bank. And that's where you spend it, and that's just how the game's played.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say if it's an unsafe situation, you're going to spell it out, and if the home buyer doesn't like your definition, he'll have somebody else look at it. I mean, at least you have the ability to say you're not going to look at it because it's unsafe.
What? No, this is saying you have to report on unsafe conditions, and they could be caused by any of these. So if there's a change in the adopted residential construction standards, I can assure you in a legal situation, there will be an expert on the other side with wonderful credentials that will argue against what you did. And it's all gray. It's not something anybody
can... So get rid of the residential construction?
That whole last sentence actually creates a lot of trouble. Because you're going to be responsible for damage, deterioration.
Right, but you wanted to put it back in, right?
I always play both sides. Mm. Like, wait, you know, why did we tear that out? Now I see that it doesn't exist in the standard. It came as a definition to other definitions. And when those definitions are applied, it means that you're responsible for risks that occur due to damage, deterioration, improper installation, and changes.
Only if it's judged by the inspector.
And it is just a definition, that's the argument. Paul said.
You know,
but it's not a describe or an observe, it's just a def, right?
It's a definition. So let's look back at...
Okay, hit the unsafe navigation again, and then we'll go to there. Devices designed and installed to protect systems and components from unsafe conditions. And that's not what we're defining, because what we're defining is bodily injury, and here we're worried about systems and components being hurt.
All right.
You see, so it's an improper definition
to change
the way we're using it.
Yes.
Okay? This is designed to protect systems and components. So if you go back to the definition, then you're going to have unsafe also reflect not only bodily injury, but also systems and components.
I think we should just pull it.
And Paul says take the whole thing out.
Yeah, the word unsafe is, if there's going to be arguments over it, it'll be the less words. That's such a normally used term. Everybody knows what that means.
Used term.
Everybody knows.
Can you slide up to?
It seems like all we're going to do is make it worse.
Unsafe. There it is. Oh, yeah, a system or component that is unsafe, or the primary function is not working properly. Are we going to need to know what unsafe is from definition to definition?
No, probably not.
No.
Roger. You're the one that's on the other side of the system.
I don't know. Having changes of residential standards, I know I've fallen back on that quite a few times.
Unsafe?
Yeah. Well, to have a component that's unsafe, and you know, if someone's coming up saying, well, "Why'd you call this out?" I said, "Well, because it's unsafe."
Right.
What's unsafe?
Well, this has nothing to do with scope. This just has to do with what we want to have in glossary. This has nothing to do with the scope of the inspector, so let's keep that in mind. We're just talking about, do we need to define this one term? Because it seems like the more we play with it, the
worse
it gets. And
I mean, you guys got rid of engineering and science because of the same reason.
Yeah.
It's only the glossary.
I think we should stay away from it. Let's define only what we need to in glossary,
or you could
not make stuff up.
Or you could say unsafe is based on the inspector's opinion.
Well, that would go right where it is.
It's another super.
Can you slide down to the definition?
Big one, no.
A condition in a readily accessible installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk, period. Would that work?
So.
Or, yeah.
Is it something that adversely affects the function, whatever the major defect is that they're looking at?
It might not be a defect, though. Yeah. Well, I guess in this person,
I can fall back on this. Not Ash.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I can always fall back on that.
Yeah, we're worried about minimum standards for the other guy, though. We know what you're doing. You're doing a good job.
Why don't you end right after serious bodily injury?
Okay, but the only time we use it in the standards is for components and systems. Serious adverse component and system condition.
Mm. It's just such a known term.
Yeah.
Who's in favor of removing it completely? I got just so two.
Taking out unsafe and major defect?
No, we have major defects because that's defined. That needs to be defined.
Okay.
Who is in favor of leaving it in fully?
No.
Okay. Well,
I don't get
on the committee. We're 1-1.
Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
I guess I could break the tie.
You could break the tie.
I could break the tie by
compromise.
You can leave it and keep it short.
Who would be in favor of a condition in a readily accessible installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be of significant risk, period?
Nobody.
Okay, who's in favor of...
Hang on.
Significant risk of serious bodily injury?
That
nobody.
You can't end it there because it could be a significant risk of losing money. we're talking about bodily injury type stuff. Yeah,
safe, though. I mean, safe is safe.
Maybe we ought to define safe instead of unsafe.
Something that's never going to hurt you, no matter what you do.
All right, this is the very last one, gentlemen. We need to do something with it.
Go back up to what it's being used for again. Is it supposed to be the inspector's opinion?
No, it's up in a major defect, not working properly, and automatic safety controls where it protects systems and components.
You know, I'll offer to go with Roger and put the full ASHI one in there. I'm fine with it. I don't think it's really the detail is serving us in Arizona that well, but...
We want to leave it for just bodily injury. Go back to automatic safety for one more time. Devices designed and installed to protect systems and components from unsafe conditions. So the unsafe conditions would constitute bodily injury. Is that what the unsafe conditions on systems and components are?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Devices designed to protect systems and components. That's going to need to be changed then, from creating maybe unsafe conditions, right?
I don't know. To say from unsafe conditions is probably...
All right, so we leave it as it is. We go down to unsafe again. Here, major defect, component that is unsafe, where the primary function is not working. Okay, that's fine. And then we go down to... this guy here, and we leave it all there. That's the consensus of two of the members of the committee. A condition in a readily accessible installed system, a component that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use. The risk may be due to damage, deterioration, improper installation, or changes in adopted residential construction standards.
Which means code.
Judged by the inspector, though.
Yeah, but judged by the inspector.
All right, so then you're accepting you're the code police now.
It's his opinion, though.
If it's unsafe, you're the code police. You have to do it. Nobody gets out of it now.
Okay, well, give me an example of changes in adopted residential construction.
GFIs.
Okay, so
GFIs got increasingly, you know, they started out, you know, in bathrooms, and then they went to the exterior, to the garage, to the kitchen.
But do we need? But okay, so there's your change in adopted residential construction standards. So all those areas would be considered unsafe. However, our standards don't require you to talk about things such as ground faults in a building that didn't require ground faults. And we all do. But I mean, but if a guy said no ground fault due to the age of the home and didn't give a recommendation, we can't hold him to feet to the fire on that. Unless we adopt your standard glossary for unsafe, then we could hold his feet to the fire. So the question is, so simply on ground faults, do you want to hold his feet to the fire if he's got a 1950 house without ground fault protection in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Well, what are we doing, though? I mean, aren't we trying to tell people that, hey, you should upgrade? This is a safety enhancement?
That's what we should be doing.
You can
but
still
do, you
do
that. Require
you
the
can still do
that. Do
that. Let me give you an example, though, maybe to think through is, like, so railing spacing verticals can be 4 inches. We see them at 6 inches.
I've seen them at 12 inches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that's a code change or an adopted residential construction standard. Now you no longer get to, you're going to decide which one of those. At 6 inches, the child's head, it's bad because the child's head can get stuck in there.
Mm-hmm. We always call them 4.
At the others, they can fit their whole body through.
Right.
So, you know, these are all things we still do, but now you're going to have to figure out as a brand new inspector which is the significant risk of serious bodily injury. Where does that come in?
About 4 inches.
Is it at 6? Is it at 8? Is it at 12?
To me, it's anything over 4.
It is.
So then now, anything safety related, we're the code police.
Well, no, we're the safety police.
It's code, an adopted code. Residential construction standards. That's code word, or that's a different name for code.
And we know our code. And
we know that, but not everybody else does.
Yeah.
We know that, but not everybody else does.
I'm telling you, lawyers and expert witnesses are going to figure this out, and they're going to crush people with it.
It's only referred to from major defects.
Well, you want to pull out
residential construction standards?
Yeah, we can pull out
that.
And stop at the damage, deterioration, and improper installation.
An improper installation, you probably won't know, because you're not going to have the manufacturer's spec and take the time to read through all that.
Yeah. Well, it would be better if we pulled out some of the adopted residential standards. It's just, you know, it really shouldn't be in
It's
there.
Heavy. It's a heavy burden.
Well, I can
come back and take a
look. If you go into the rules, the BTR rules, those changes in adopted residential standards, home inspectors are required to pay attention to. Because if you read through the rules, I forget exactly where it is, it does say that you got to pay attention to the rules, to standards, okay, to rules.
To code.
To code. Okay, as for just being on the BTR, being governed by the BTR. If you read through all
for
the rules, you'll see that. Well, we're part of what do we call us? Registrants.
We're certified.
We're registrants.
We're all included.
You're professional.
And there's a reference to we have to be code enforcement people.
No, not code police. You just have to be familiar, and also it says that you have to do. You have to perform your job in accordance to which other people in the same industry, the same place, at the same time would perform their job, which means that we have to be as good as the other inspectors.
And that's just general tort law.
This is general rule.
That's okay? Tort law.
And if you read through that, you'll see that if we're not paying attention to changes in the residential rules...
Yeah, what are we good for?
What are we good for? That's true.
Well, you can't know it all.
Well, you have to.
Well, if you go to...
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay attention to it all. You know? I mean, like for instance, and then the inspection is your opinion, all right? For instance, arc fault breakers mean nothing to me. As far as I'm concerned, an arc fault circuit is a hazard, and it's an aggravation if you're running a vacuum cleaner, for instance. It's going to just keep tripping off, okay? So I just say that there aren't any. I don't make a recommendation you put them in, you know, because I don't believe it, all right? That's my opinion, and you're allowed to use your opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. The hose end fittings are super annoying.
I think we should see if this sticks the way it is.
Well, we have to get Roger to approve it, because I don't want to come back to this before he runs off this ash. So you guys are going to need to take Roger out in the hall.
No.
Mr. Chair, so we have about a 15-minute warning, because Kurt and I both have other meetings we cannot.
Okay,
miss.
We have got to wrap this up.
So we can you know, schedule again.
We can.
And obviously we're not getting to everything, so... Well,
no, we got everything, but I'm safe. Other things on the agenda.
We don't have everything. We have other things that we need to talk about. But
Roger, do you want to leave it like this for now?
Continue that.
Yeah, leave it like that. We can come back to it at some point.
So it says, a condition in a readily accessible installed system or component that is judged by the inspector to be a significant risk of serious bodily injury during normal day-to-day use. The risk may be due to damage or deterioration.
Do you want Kurt to highlight that little section? So you're
we still get the review.
Re-review.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to add more to that last line, so that you're limited.
Okay. So we're going to walk away from this because we have other things on the agenda we got to address. All right?
Well,
and not necessarily today.
No, I mean, I'm just saying we have about 15
minutes. They got 15 minutes, and it takes 20 to get over there. So we're going to need to...
I would just say that the other rule stuff could possibly be pushed off.
Right.
And this, if you guys think you can do this in 15 minutes and get this on safe and send it out to Ashy,
yeah,
do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. We can come back for the other stuff.
Yeah, I know I can. But we have to get Roger to say he can.
Where do you stand, Peter? Because you...
Personally, I'm happy with stopping at bodily injury. I don't even need the normal day-to-day use, but... I do, because that was a pretty big thing.
And then take out risk, maybe due to, which is a little bit of an oddity to start listing out examples or something. We don't do that very often in the standard definitions.
No, I don't count here, but I think, a bit after serious bodily injury.
If you guys don't mind me pushing 5C, the committee chairman's report, I don't have one, of course, and future agenda items.
Wait. Are you guys done with this?
No, wait a minute. If you don't mind me moving them to next meeting, we can push in on this.
Yeah, that's fine. It's, okay. If you don't get to it, I just put in the minutes that nothing was discussed.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Future meeting.
Okay, so I figure we got 5 minutes to beat this up.
No, you're... 2:15.
2:15 is perfectly fine. 15 minutes.
Okay, that's 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That one's a little bit fast.
Yeah, don't look at that one.
Look at the bottom of the screen up there.
201.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, we're off to Google Meet. Leave it all in. Take it all out.
So we're still on unsafe.
Yeah.
Capturing your thoughts, Peter. You said after serious bodily injury.
Bodily injury.
During normal day-to-day use.
After the use. That's pretty good.
Not yet, though.
Yeah, the day-to-day use does add something because it excludes like this one-off crazy event, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the exposed wire on the roof or some kind of crazy
Something really odd. A bird came and pecked it or something.
So I see the place in there for the day-to-day normal piece on it. We took out the stuff I was actually more nervous about on that. So.
Yeah. The trouble is we have to sell this to Ashy, and we had the Ashy president in here telling us that we don't like it.
Oh. Ashy chapter president.
I feel like that last bit that's highlighted right now, I mean, you say, you know, to be a significant risk, and then I almost feel like that's something in and of itself. So I feel like that last highlighted bit shouldn't be there.
Agreed.
But that, that's you guys how I feel. Are
make it
experts.
Short and sweet if you want. I mean,
maybe they'll like it.
We can shorten it down.
Did I hear you say we can shorten it down?
Yes, of course.
Take it out. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You sure? Because
let's get it off the screen.
I don't want to be responsible for any unhappiness.
So just as a discussion point, too, if there's time available to get this out to people as we get close to finalizing, as we are pretty close, and you've got the main copy.
I'm pretty sure this is finalized. I don't see it. We have nothing outstanding.
Yeah, nothing's outstanding.
So we're gone.
So the review on SAFE can come out right there.
Oh, yeah.
Take that out.
And then if you wouldn't mind getting me a clean copy, too, and I'll bounce it around to brains that are sharp, and then
yeah,
you guys all
and
know.
Kurt, if you could post an edited copy so we know the changes.
What I will do is just email you guys what I did last time, is this edited version and a clean version.
Very good.
Same
okay,
email.
Great.
Okay.
Now, thank you.
It's going to go to the general public when it goes to GERC.
But that's...
That's way down the line.
Yeah.
All right? So if you want to put this out and expect comments back that need to be addressed in this committee, we need to keep it on the agenda.
Yeah, I guess I'm worried that, like, with the land surveyors, you know, it just became this endless delay that still exists, and hopefully we won't face that. But there, if time does go by, do we, you know, we'll get Roger to bounce it around some smart brains anyway. Maybe that's good enough.
If you guys do that, and then Roger bring, you can leave it on the agenda, and you know, if there's something significant that Roger discovers or somebody discovers that you want to bring back and be like, you know what, this is all great, but 9B, wow, there was all this controversy. We need to just look at that one thing.
We did so much work. We need to leave
you
it on
guys
agenda
have done, yeah, so much
that's
work on it. I can't imagine.
Maybe a couple of cleanup things, Peter.
Okay, then I do recommend you all put it out. Let's get all the comments back. Anybody who wants to change the whole format, we're going to just throw one at the table and kick them around. But the but I think that keeping it on the agenda would be a great idea. Okay. All right. So we're done with 5B. We're moving on to 5C. Kurt, I would like you to move 5C to our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Move 6 to our next meeting. There, I doubt there will be anything to discuss at that point. 7, if we can start thinking about future agenda meetings.
You know, the only future agenda item, Kurt, do you want to have any discussion on the ENO, like just to get their opinions?
Certainly.
I mean, we're doing some research, but we could put that as a future discussion item.
Okay, yeah. So we're gonna rehash some ENO.
We have like a little thing going on right now. I don't want to get into the depths of it too deeply, but we have questions.
Okay, so put the ENO insurance on our future agenda. Put item number 5B on future agenda. Put item number 5C on our future agenda items. Anything else, Paul? Roger?
No,
I'm good.
All right. And anybody from public have anything they want to have on future agenda?
No,
to discuss?
Please.
Okay. Then our future meetings. What's a good time and how soon do we have to come back?
We just came back just a little
time. What's the timing on the other agenda items? How soon do we need to hit those?
I think that that's a rule packet kind of thing, and I don't know if this is all going to go together, like the SOP rule change along with these, if there's going to be a separate thing. And so.
I hope.
But that's way down the line probably.
I mean, since we're looking at April.
What are we in, February?
Let's look at March.
Yeah,
what about March?
So
you guys
March
need something in March?
Well, you want to finish this up, right?
Will you get feedback on 5C or 5B by March?
Is that enough time for Ashley to look at it?
More time the better, actually.
Yeah.
Do you need, Madam Director, do you need us here in March for some reason? You just like seeing us.
I do. I'm ordering pizza next time, though, if we're going on until 2 o'clock.
Thank you. That'd be great. I'll even chip in.
Okay, cool.
Any reason to have to come back that early?
No, we can do April.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay, April?
April
10th, 12th.
13th, so. Wednesday?
13th is Wednesday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Or Tuesday is the 12th.
Anybody have a conflict?
At this point, no.
I don't know.
If the director is looking at Wednesday, we generally like to come in here in case we do something that needs to go to the board. We like to be here before their meeting. When's their meeting?
And our legal counsel is...
So what's the date?
Oh, we got into our legal counsel is important.
Yes.
And we've missed you the last couple of meetings, I can promise you.
The 26th of April would be the board meeting.
Thank you.
26th?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday or the 12th? Tuesday the 12th or Wednesday the 13th?
Which meeting? We're waiting to see how the works.
Okay, right at this moment, the Tuesday the 12th of April or Wednesday the 13th of April is
okay.
Looking good.
Anybody
so
have
how about you guys?
Tuesday or Wednesday, 12th or 13th?
Tuesday
the 13th, it is, 12th it is. Okay.
Tuesday, April 12th.
April 12th. If anybody wants to comment on that and you don't want to bring back their comments, they can show up as public members, okay? And as long as it's on the agenda, we'll let them speak.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that.
The last item is 9. And I'll entertain a motion, the final motion.
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's get out of here.
Thank you. Nice job, Peter.
Thank you.
Good job.